Well, good morning and welcome to Kingston West Free Methodist Church on this Sunday, September the 5th. Hope you're having a great long weekend this weekend. Just a couple of announcements. Again, just a reminder, prayer meeting continues to take place Thursdays at 1:30. And for the men, all the King's Men's event is taking place Saturday, September the 11th. All the details are in your bulletin that would have been emailed to you for our church family here. If you're watching this and you don't receive our bulletin, you can let us know. We can get that to you, or you, if you want to or are interested in this event, All the King's Men on September 11th, please contact the church office and I can get that information for you. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 24, verses 9 and 10. Says, lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come before you and we acknowledge that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Lord, it is our desire to worship you today. And I pray that you would encourage your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to verse 13, a familiar text for many of us. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May the Lord speak to our hearts through this His word. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be gathered in this way today, and thank you that we can be in our living room, our office, or somewhere else, or maybe the good friends and folks in Eyebrow gathered in their church as they worship together today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be exalted in and through our lives. We pray that you would give us continued opportunity to share your love and your grace with those that are around us. We have so much to be grateful for. And as we reflect on all the things, all the blessings that you've brought into our lives, we are humbled and we want to say thank you. Help us not to use these blessings for selfish reasons, but Lord, may they be blessings that we can share with others. Whether it be a word of encouragement, whether it be helping a neighbor or a friend, whether it be picking up the phone and calling someone we haven't talked to for a while. Lord, there's so many ways that we can share the blessing you've given us with others. And we are grateful. And we thank you for meeting our needs. And Lord, I know that as I am praying, there are many needs within our own church family here, but also within the lives of people who are watching. And we pray for them today. We pray for your peace and your comfort in the midst of times in which they may be struggling, be it for health reasons or physical reasons or emotional reasons or maybe financial reasons, Lord. In all these things, we ask for you to be at work. And Lord, for you to meet us and to answer our prayers in ways that bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, we just pray that as we open up your word, that you will now speak into our hearts and into our lives. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week is our second week in our new series called The Business of Living. And have you ever had a relationship fall apart? Maybe with a family member, a friend, a coworker? I suspect that most of us have had this heartbreaking experience in one form or another. I read a story a number of years ago about the comedy show Seinfeld. When Jerry Seinfeld started the show, he had a good friend by the name of Mike Costanza. They were such good friends that Jerry decided to honor his friend and named a character on the show after him. He was called George Costanza. Now, at first, Mike Costanza thought this was quite an honor. I mean, he saw a number of similarities between himself and the character on the show. He would brag to his friends that he was actually George. However, the George character wasn't based entirely on Mike Costanza. And to Mike's dismay, the writers of Seinfeld had George do some things that Mike found, well, embarrassing. Finally, Mike decided that he had had enough. The George Costanza character was ruining his life. The people he had impressed earlier with the Seinfeld connection now saw Mike as the ultimate loser. So Mike did the only thing he knew to do. He sued his good friend, Jerry Seinfeld and NBC, for $100 million for using the Costanza name. But, by the way, he lost that. But, you know, this is just one example of a friendship gone bad. And I'm sure that you've have your own stories, because the unfortunate reality is that you don't have to go very far to see relationships in distress. One of the sad outcomes of COVID has been strained relationships. As we look at our lives, we will see that most of the joy we experience in life and most of the pain is the result of our relationships. This applies to friendships, marriages, parent-child relationships, and work relationships. When you're surrounded by people you love and people that love you, the hardships of life become more bearable. I'd like to suggest that if you desire to be happy, you'll have to learn to manage your relationships. Now, unfortunately, our culture has placed more value on self, on what I want or what I deserve, instead of placing value on others. Therefore, many people in our society consider friendships and even marriage as disposable. Those that live this way ultimately find themselves unhappy and alone. A study in a men's health magazine revealed that the happiest and healthiest people are those whose relationships are strong and fulfilling. Happily married men live longer than single or divorced men. Every year, in the dull and dreary months of February, we celebrate Valentine's Day, a day that we celebrate special relationships. And do you know the story behind this day? Some of you have probably heard it, but Valentine lived in Rome during the reign of Emperor Claudius II. He had everything going for him. He was young, wealthy, healthy, and passionately in love with his fiancée. As the day of his wedding approached, Valentine's future looked storybook bright. However, his world suddenly began to fall apart when the emperor declared all Christians to be guilty of treason. And in order to escape punishment, all citizens had to declare Caesar is Lord. Valentine refused to make such a declaration. Worldly success and worldly love were secondary priorities for him. He was first and foremost a follower of Christ. And as a result, Valentine was arrested and put in jail. There was no trial, just a sentence to public execution in the Roman arena. While awaiting death, Valentine wrote love letters to his girlfriend, beautiful, romantic letters assuring her of his never-ending love. On February 14th in the year 259, he became another of thousands to be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Since then, Christians have celebrated his loyalty to Christ and romantic love by sending love letters to special people. Valentine's Day is a day that when we acknowledge those special people in our lives, but I truly hope that you don't just do it once a year. You need to acknowledge the special people in your life all year long. Today, we will look at how we can strengthen the relationships we have with others. This applies to all kinds of relationships, your spouse, family members, friendships, fellow workers, even customers. This is the second week in our series called The Business of Living, which is all about managing the different areas of your life, which is stewardship. And when it comes to managing some areas of your life, it requires learning how to control them, such as controlling how you spend your time or how you spend your money or how you direct your career. But when it comes to managing your relationships, you have to approach it differently. Managing your relationships is not about control, it's about commitment. You can't control others, you can only commit to them. In fact, the more you try to control things in a relationship, the more quickly the relationship will unravel. Instead of trying to control your relationships, today we're going to look at a few verses from Proverbs 18 that show us three ways you can manage your relationships or three commitments you can make that will strengthen the bonds you have with others. First of all, managing your relationships begins with a commitment to loyalty. A group of friends who went deer hunting separated into pairs for the day, and that night one hunter returned alone, staggering in carrying a 10-point buck. The other hunters asked, "Where's Harry?" The man told him, "Well, Harry fainted a couple of miles up the trail." Well, the others couldn't believe it. "You mean you left him lying there alone and carried the deer back?" The man answered, "It was a tough call, but I figured no one's going to steal Harry." True friendship requires more loyalty than Harry's friends showed him. The people closest to you need to know that they are important to you, more important to you than the externals of life. There's a story about a wealthy bachelor who found a beautiful young lady and they were married. Not long into the marriage, the man began to wonder if she had just married him for his money. So over dinner one evening, he asked her, "If I lost all my money, would you still love me?" She put her arms around him and said gently, "Oh, honey, don't be silly. Of course I would still love you. I would miss you terribly, but I would still love you." The people that are closest to us need to know that they always have our loyalty. Solomon said, verse 24, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Solomon differentiates between companions and close friends. Another word for companions might be merely acquaintances. There's a difference between knowing a person on a surface level and having a valued relationship with someone. An acquaintance is a person you get along with as long as everything goes well between the two of you. A close friend stays with you no matter what happens. The people in your life are fallible. They will make mistakes, but remember, so will you. Sometimes they will make huge mistakes. The question is, are you committed to them only as long as they do what you want them to do? Are you committed to them only as long as you personally benefit from the relationship? Or can they depend on you even when they slip and fall and make a mess of things? Job said in Job 6:14, "Anyone who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty." The fact is, it's your loyalty that will help them get back on track. In the Old Testament, there is a wonderful love story about a man named Hosea and his wife Gomer. The story of Hosea's love for his wife is used as a metaphor for God's love for us. Hosea and loved Gomer, even though she was a prostitute. He loved her even though she was an adulteress. He loved her even though she had a name like Gomer. After Gomer had deserted Hosea, he went looking for her. He found her on an auction block being sold as a prostitute slave. At that auction, Hosea bought his own wife and asked her to come back to him. Hosea says in Hosea chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. Managing your relationships is not about control. It's about commitment. It begins with a commitment to give those people close to you your undying loyalty. Even when they let you down, even when they desert you, even when they fail, you don't have to condone what they have done, but you can continue to be their friend. Secondly, people need your commitment to listen. In an office supply store, there was a new and improved speakerphone that boasted it had handset quality. On the box, it said, now you can talk and listen at the same time. This is not what we need in human interactions on a business or personal level. We already have a problem with trying to talk and listen at the same time. We hardly need technology to make the situation worse. A subscriber to Theater Arts magazine was trying to get the phone number so he could call, so they called directory assistance or Canada 411, whatever it would be for us. And the operator said, sorry, sir, but there's no one listed by the name of Theodore Arts. The man said, no, it's not a person, it's a publication. I want the listing for Theater Arts. The operator said disinterestedly, I told you, we don't have a listing for Theodore Arts. The man said in a loud voice, the word is theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E. I need the listing for Theater Arts. The operator said, sir, that's not how you spell Theodore. You know, some people, they hear you, but they just don't listen. One of the greatest gifts you can give is the gift of listening to what the people in your life have to say. In my pre-marriage counseling with couples, I spend one session teaching them how to listen. The problem is that many of us don't listen with the intent to understand what someone's saying. We listen with the intent to reply or to respond. That's not listening at all, and it reveals a lack of commitment to the other person. Proverbs says, verse 13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. The book of James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak, James 1:19. There is nothing manipulative about listening. You can't try to control someone by listening to them. Listening requires a commitment on your part. A willingness to listen tells the other person, I value you as a person. Managing your relationships involves a commitment to listening. Thirdly, it calls for a commitment of love. With all the options to watch on TV these days, be it satellite, cable, and today on demand through the internet, you can have access to all the old shows that we used to watch as kids. Kind of fun to watch some of those old shows once in a while. But who here remembers the show The Love Boat? I mean, even that show in its time was a little racy. But it's not as bad as some of the stuff that we see on TV today. Anyways, On one episode, Captain Steubing was performing a wedding ceremony, and as he went through the vows, he said, "Do you promise to love her, cherish her, honor and keep her, as long as you both shall love?" Of course, the traditional wedding ceremony says, "As long as you both shall live." But the Love Boat episode had modified the vows to give people a back door. We'll stay together as long as we have feelings for each other, and when the feelings go away, we're not obligated to stay. You know, we live in a society that equates love with emotion. Most people think love is something you feel. And of course, there are some feelings there, especially in romantic love. But the truth is, love is something that you do. Love is a commitment you make that is stronger than any feelings you might have. Earlier, I read what's known as the love chapter in the Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. If this is what love is, then it's obvious that love is not about feelings and not about control. It's about commitment. Love is an attitude that says, "I want what's best for you." Too often, what we masquerade as concern for others is really just an attempt to get them to do what we want them to do rather than what's best for them. We've all had friends like that, and may I be so bold to say that we have all more than likely been a friend like that as well. Proverbs says in verse 1, "An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and against all sound judgments starts quarrels." Solomon also said, "What a person desires is unfailing love," Proverbs 19:22. If you can communicate to others that you are sincerely committed to what's best for them, you will gain their trust and you will have a tremendous amount of influence in their life. First, they must believe that you want what's best for them, not just what is most convenient or most preferable for you. Love is something you do, and it's by definition unselfish in nature. We have many areas of our lives to manage. In most cases, that means, again, taking control, grabbing the reins and refusing to let go. You have to take control of your time. You have to take control of your money. You have to take control of your health. You have to take control of your career. But your relationships are a different matter. It's not about control. It's about commitment. And as you manage the relationships in your life, commit to loyalty, commit to listening, and commit to love. And you will be a best friend to the people in your lives. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for these wonderful words we find in the scriptures. And we thank you for this reminder about relationships, friendships, and Lord, how we can invest in others in ways certainly that bring glory and honor to you, and in ways that acknowledge to the other person what's best for them. And Lord, we've not been perfect at this, so forgive us for that. But help us, Lord, in all of our relationships. Help us to be loyal. Help us to really listen to what people are saying. And help us to love them as a purposeful act. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to transition into communion. As we are gathered, and whether it be at your home or wherever you're located and watching this, we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper together. And let's receive then the invitation. "You who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and humbly kneeling, make your honest confession to Almighty God.
The General Confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we confess that we have sinned, and we are deeply grieved, and we remember the wickedness of our past lives. We have sinned against you, your holiness, and your love, and we deserve only your indignation and anger. We sincerely repent, and we are genuinely sorry for all wrongdoing and every failure to do the things we should. Our hearts are grieved, and we acknowledge that we are hopeless without your grace. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us, cleanse us, give us strength to serve and please you, and newness of life, and to honor and praise your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
The Affirmation of Faith. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you with hearty repentance and true faith, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from our sins. Make us strong and faithful in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And let us say together the Collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
De Sanctus, it is always right and proper and our moral duty that we should at all times and all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the inhabitants of heaven, we honor and adore your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Prayer for Spiritual Communion. We do not come to this your table, O merciful Lord, with self-confidence and pride, trusting in our righteousness, but we trust in your great and many mercies. We are not worthy to gather the crumbs from under your table, but you, O Lord, are unchanging in your mercy, and your nature is love. Grant us, therefore, God of mercy, God of grace, so to eat at this your table, that we may receive in spirit and in truth the body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and the merits of his shed blood, so that we may live and grow in his likeness, and being washed and cleansed through his most precious blood, we may evermore live in him and he in us. Amen.
Now the prayer of consecration of the elements. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who by his sacrifice offered once for all, did provide a full, perfect, and sufficient atonement for the sins of the whole world, we come now to your table in obedience to your Son, Jesus Christ, who in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we humbly ask, and grant that we, receiving this bread and this cup, as he commanded, and in the memory of his passion and death, may partake of his most blessed body and blood. In the night of his betrayal, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your soul and body unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. And now let us receive the benediction. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be yours now and forever. Amen. Have a wonderful week.